Welcome to Conversations with Carla. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Princeton head women's basketball coach Carla Berube. Coach, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Jerry.
So let's start out our conversation today by talking about a one-loss team as it's getting ready to head into the postseason, and that would be Tufts. I assume you've been following your former team.
Of course, yes.
I assume they were doing well. I just looked them up. They're 26-1. They were 26-0, and they lost in the conference final to Bowdoin. Mm-hmm. And you have a look on your face that says you're annoyed by that a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping they would pull out that that victory on their home court and win the NESCAC championship. The men won it for the first time ever, so they were both hosting this past weekend, and I was hoping they could get the win, but Bowdoin played really well and came out victorious.
So you followed them fairly closely as the year's gone on, or you've just sort of...
Yeah, anytime I can watch them, yeah, I absolutely will tune in.
So they're 26-1. Your team is 24-1. A few years ago, Princeton went through the regular season unbeaten, got to 30-0 in the regular season, won the first NCAA tournament game to go to 31-0, and then lost to Maryland in the second round after some unfortunate seeding for an undefeated team. And that's something that still bothers a lot of people around here, is where Princeton was seeded when they were 30-0. But so let me ask you this question. That team being undefeated, it became a big story. They were the only undefeated along with UConn. Every game became, national news. Did they win again? Did they keep their streak going? Your team has the one loss. Your old team has now one loss going into the NCAA tournament. And I guess, is there pressure on a team when they're undefeated? Would you rather have the one loss than the no losses to take away that pressure? Doesn't that matter at all? And is that even those are the kinds of things that people externally look at all the time. Yeah. Oh, team's unbeaten. It's a lot of pressure, or that's great, or whatever. Is that even something remotely important to a coach in the middle of it?
I don't think so. I think you're trying to win each game. I don't think having that loss is going to make it so much, easier. And, as a coach, right, you might feel a little bit of pressure, but you certainly don't let your let your team in on that or make them feel any sort of pressure. It is more of an external, thing going on. And, I don't think UConn is ever like, oh, we should have that, a loss to help us out and know what it's like to have that. And I think that you're trying to win each and every game. And, that's the goal is to go undefeated. Every team wants that.
Does it amuse you when people who are not inside of a program think some of the things they think about the inner workings of how teams respond, what motivates them or doesn't motivate them, or any of those kinds of things?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's fun. I mean, they're fans, or they like to write about it, or they're interested in it. So, but they don't really know what's happening. What's the everyday conversation like with your team? What's their mentality each and every game? And so it's fun. It's fun to see what other people think of what's happening.
So let's talk about your current team with its one losses to Iowa, which is and back in overtime early in the season. This week became the NCAA Team of the Week, which is a nice recognition, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So you went into so Gary Walters. Have you met? I assume you've met Gary. You've talked to Gary.
Of course.
So Gary, the former athletic director, of course, I worked with him here for 20 years, and he would always say the same thing: you need to be cautiously optimistic. You can't let until things are won, you can't assume they're going to be won. You have to have cautious optimism. I was cautiously optimistic about your team's chances of winning the league going into last weekend. Had so much margin for error, and obviously won it on Friday night, defeating Brown to win the Ivy League championship, getting some help after the fact from, I guess it was Penn lost to Yale, mm-hmm. which it was gave you the outright championship instead of just a share of the championship, which obviously with three games left, and you took care of Yale the next night. We'll talk more about that. First of all, congratulations on winning the championship.
Thank you.
Your team is clearly a team that's focused on what comes now, moving forward. There are teams around here through the years that have taken Ivy League championships for granted as sort of the first step on their way to whatever their longer goals are. I doubt that that's the situation with your team and your first year and all that. What does it mean to win the Ivy League title and to do so in a year in which, one, I would say you were heavily favored, but two, in the preseason poll, you were not unanimous. It was fairly even with you and Penn, and somebody even voted you third. So what is, take all of those things together, and what does it mean to win the championship?
Oh, I mean, it means so much. I know how, you know, just how competitive this league is, and what an honor it is to be crowned the champions. And yeah, I mean, I don't look at, you know, what preseason votes look like. I knew what we had at the beginning of the season, and I've known what we've done throughout the season, how hard we'd worked, and yeah, I'm really thrilled for the team. We will never take it for granted on winning this regular season championship.
I didn't mean take it for granted, yeah. Like it's not a big deal, but just, you know, like it's, there are just some teams that either, you know, like for instance, I don't want to give examples, but
it just seemed
like, you know, they were likely to win, so that when they did, it wasn't a big deal.
No, we made it a big deal. But now that sort of that chapter is over, we have two really big games, you know, coming up this weekend, and then we get geared up for that next really big goal, and that's winning the Ivy Madness.
So let's go back to last weekend first. The win over Brown, relatively easy. Then the next night, for the second straight time that you played Yale this year, got behind. It was 12-0 the first time. It was 8-0, I think, this time. Any reason why that happened, and then your team just turned it around and won both games by double figures?
I mean, Yale's really good. You know, they came out and they were sort of running on all cylinders and making great plays, and you know, we didn't hit a couple shots. It happens. We don't want to do that. That's not in the game plan. But luckily we got it together again defensively, and then made some plays. You know, during that second quarter, I thought that was big, how we ended the first quarter and then moved into the second quarter and really shut him down on the defensive end.
It was senior night for Taylor Bauer, Bella Allery. What were those emotions like?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I haven't been here with them for 4 years, but I still, felt honored to have coached them for a year and happy that, you know, they've had such a successful 4-year run and that they're enjoying this year, and really love their families a lot. So it was nice. It was nice to be out there with them and see the emotions they had. And then, I think they both played really well on Saturday night.
Bella finished the weekend with 1,680 points, three away from the school's career record that has stood for 30 years. Naveen Rashid almost certainly would have gotten it had she had not missed half a season with an injury. Bella would have had it by now if she had not been hurt, but still, a record is a record. It stood for 30 years. Three more points and Bella will have that record. Didn't seem like you were trying to get, you know, just feed it to her so she would get the record at home.
No, I mean, it was too important of a game to be thinking about an, you know, individual accomplishment. I'm sure she was not either. She's so unselfish, so I know that wasn't in her head. I think she did have a chance to take a three towards the end of the game, and I was like, come on. But you know, it's gonna happen. Would have been like, you know, icing on the cake of, you know, the whole weekend, yes, but you know, she will get it.
So the Ivy League field is somewhat set and somewhat not set. Princeton will be the number one seed. Penn, Columbia have clinched their spots. You play at Columbia on Friday night, 7:00, and then Cornell, 5:00 on Saturday. Yeah. Harvard or Yale will be the fourth team. Yale is two games up on Harvard, but they play each other, and Harvard would have the tiebreaker. So if Harvard sweeps and then Yale loses both, then it would be Harvard. If not, it'll be Yale. But you could play either Columbia, Yale, Harvard, or Penn in the first round. No way of knowing that right now, so not something that you can really focus on.
Yeah.
What's your thought as you head into the last weekend, knowing what lies beyond?
Yeah, I mean, we're just focused on Columbia and Cornell. Today in practice is Cornell, tomorrow will be Columbia, and that's that's what's most important, you know. whatever happens this weekend, great, and then we'll move on, and we'll know exactly, you know, after Saturday who will be playing on Friday evening, and we'll, you know, get geared up for that. And then you kind of, you know, you also have to get geared up for two other opponents. So it's a little bit more, you know, work to be done. But by now, we've played everybody. At that point, we've played everybody twice. So I think we really know, and they know us, you know, each Ivy League team. And it's great. Now I finally know the Ivy League. I feel like I know the players. At the beginning of the season, the team would be talking about Roxy, and they'd be talking about, you know, whoever else in the league, Parker, and so now I'm like, oh, this is who you've been speaking about. Such great players in this league.
Have you ever been to Columbia's gym or Cornell's gym?
I have not been to either of them. Yep.
So it's an interesting trip as the Ivy League goes, and obviously this is the last year of the true travel partner format, but you know, you have the trip to Columbia, 7 o'clock start Friday, and that's obviously in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. Then it's on the bus for 4 hours up to Cornell, much different. It's the longest ride that you have to make between the two games.
Yeah.
And it is 22 hours of turnaround instead of 24 hours of turnaround. So it'll be a good test for your team. And obviously Columbia tied for second going into the last weekend. Meg Griffiths was an assistant coach here, very well liked in this building. You won't find anybody who knew Meg here who doesn't like her very much and isn't happy for the job that she's doing there. But they've come a long way in a short time.
Yeah, and they're going to be good for a long time because those are a lot of really young, talented players that she has. So, yeah, she's done a great job, and, yeah, the future looks bright for her.
So the Ivy League tournament will be held at Harvard next weekend. It was, for the first 3 years of the tournament, the women and the men, same-day semifinals, same-day final. Now it's women Friday semifinals, final Saturday, men's semifinals Saturday, men's final Sunday. So it's a little bit different if people are thinking of going up to Harvard and checking that out if they want to watch those games. In the NESCAC, so Tufts wins the regular season, Bowdoin wins the tournament. Is one of those teams considered the champion? Bowdoin,
yeah. It's not, being the regular season champion isn't as big as it is in the Ivy League.
Do you still have a banner up that says regular season champ, or you don't do that? So in the Ivy League, the regular season winner is the champion. So no matter what, Princeton will be the Ivy League champion for 2020. The NCAA tournament automatic bid is determined by which team wins the Ivy League tournament. Your team, you know, we haven't talked about this at all. This is the cautious optimism piece. Your team, I don't want to say is a lock for the NCAA tournament, but is very highly regarded in terms of an at-large bid if it does not win the automatic bid. I'm going to answer the question myself. You haven't even considered that in the least, right?
No.
Do you get into any of that stuff, reading about potential seeds and multiple bids and all that?
No, but people tell me, so I certainly hear about where we are this week in, you know, Charlie Cream's like bracket, but
that always fascinates me because it's like, oh yeah, we're definitely going here, but well, you know, last week they said we're going there.
Yeah, and it changes every week.
And early on in the season, you know, maybe in a year where, you know, like in a year where like on the men's side where it's fairly wide open, like week to week to week to week, the team itself is different, let alone where they're going. So, but people love that. People love to read that stuff. And So
making predictions and we're playing Columbia on Friday.
That's at 7, I know that. And Tufts is in the NCAA tournament as well, so I'll keep an eye on them and see how they do.
Yeah.
The most exciting time of the season is rolling around for Princeton women's basketball and for men's basketball. Men are home this weekend against the same two, Columbia and Cornell. They have clinched their spot in the Ivy League tournament. Their seeding still way up in the air as that race goes down to the wire. As for your team, you have Bella going after the record. You have finishing off the regular season, looking ahead to the Ivy League tournament. Beyond that, the NCAA tournament. So we have plenty to talk about in the current coming weeks. In the meantime, good luck this weekend, and thanks for being with us.
All right, thanks, Jerry.
For Princeton head women's basketball coach Carla Berube, I am Jerry Price. Thank you for being with us here each week, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton women's basketball.